comes through your grace. Now this morning, Lord, we ask that you would speak to us as only you can, speak to us individually and speak to us collectively, that we might hear from you and that our lives may be transformed through the preaching of your word. This we ask in your son's name and for his sake. Amen. This morning, in your singing, you sang about how deep the Father's love is for us. You sang about showers of blessing, and in the middle of that, you sang about how great is our God. This morning, I want to speak from the subject of how great is our God for just a few moments, and hopefully help you to understand how great our God is in a small package. Because, you know, I can stand up here from now until the Lord comes back and still never have you to totally understand how great God is. In Jeremiah, the 24th chapter and the 7th verse, it says, I will give them a heart to know me. I will give you a heart to know God. In Philippians, the 2nd chapter and the 13th verse, it says, for it is God's who works in you the will and the act according to his purpose. And that says God wants you for his purpose to come to understand who he is. In 1 Chronicles, the 22nd chapter and verse 19, it says, now devote your hearts and your soul to seeking the Lord your God. In essence, what God is saying to us is that this whole process of living by his word is to come to understand who he is and how great he is. In the book of Psalms, in the there are five sections to this book. And each one of the sections in this book, you know, end in a benediction. This morning we're going to look at close to the end of book number one, because book number one encompasses verses chapters 1 through 41, but we're going to just plant ourselves today in verse 40. You know, in each psalm, each individual psalm is a praise to God for his power, for his provisions, for his creation, and for his deliverance. Psalms kind of envisions a world which everyone and everything will praise God, and God in turn will hear our prayers and respond to our prayers based on our petitioning of him. The book of Psalms 40 is a prayer, a song, if you want to call it, of thanksgiving and celebration to our God. It's a devotion to his, and also a devotion to his service. The Bible says, great is our Lord. And you have to ask yourself, when the Bible says, great is our Lord, what is the Bible saying to us? And if we were to break it down into some components, we can say that great is our Lord because he's the one that gives us life. Great is the Lord because of his love for his people. Great is the Lord because he is the one that takes us out of darkness and brings us into the light. That he restores us, that he gives us salvation. That he is the one that is omnipotent. He is the one that is omnipresent. He is the one that is omnipotent. That he is perfect in everything, in all that he does. When we understand that God is all of this plus more, that when we talk about God, that he has demonstrated his greatness to us through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. and that his greatness is in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he has conquered sin, he has conquered Satan, and he has conquered death for us. That is his greatness. That his greatness is that he has done all of this for us. And the interesting thing about it is he done it before the creation of the world. This is all part of his plan for us. When we say how great is our God, it is outlined in the Westminster Confession of Faith that we understand that God is a spirit. He is infinite and eternal. He is uncomparable. There is no one like God. We cannot even sit down and with our human mind try to comprehend or put him into a box or put him into any type of a container that we can comprehend him as he is. He's our Redeemer. He's our Sanctifier. He has, through him, we have the power to live the life that he has called us to live. He is full of wisdom. He is righteous and he is good. And his truth is everlasting. Because of his greatness. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth, and all that is in them are working, are works of his hands. I don't know if you ever thought about it, but during the summer months specifically, you will see this little thing on the pavement, on the sidewalk, and if you don't clean well at home, it comes into your home, and it's an ant. And God created the ant, and God placed in that ant a lifestyle. And that ant spends his summer doing one thing, stocking up food. Isn't that mind-blowing? That this thing that is so small that God has created submits to God 24/7. Submits to God year in and year out, going out and doing exactly what God created it to do. It's important that we understand who God is. It's important that we understand that it is God that directs that which he has made, not us. But that we are to submit our will, we are to submit our lives to God, that we may honor and we may glorify him in every area of our lives. We are to fulfill that which God has created us for. And as we are fulfilling what God has created us for, we are to trust him. We need to rest securely in his protection and his love for us. Now, I don't know about you, but there are times when I question whether, you know, God knows what he's doing. Have you been there? Has there been times in your life when you understand that God is sovereign, you understand who he is to the best you can understand in your mind, but then you question whether he knows what he's doing? Especially at those times when what you're thinking is different than what his word says. In Psalms, the 40th chapter and the 16th verse, the psalmist says, "Let the Lord be magnified And what the psalmist is saying, that in our lives, we are to magnify the Lord. And along with magnifying the Lord, we are to be seeking the Lord, rejoicing in the Lord continually. In essence, what the psalmist is saying to us is that in your relationship with the Lord, you are supposed to be broadcasting, you're supposed to be living a life that magnifies him, so that you are become a living, walking testimony in this world of God's goodness and of who he is. You're supposed to be seeking after him, and as you seek after him, you're supposed to be rejoicing in him. That means that no matter what is going on in your life, knowing that God is in control, you're supposed to be rejoicing in him continually. The Bible says in Psalms 30 that as you cry unto the Lord, in Psalms 40 verse 1, it says that as you cry unto the Lord, he hears you. He hears your petitions. And he will rescue you from whatever situation you find yourself in. If there are storms going on in your life, God is the one that can say, peace be still. If there are situations like you find yourself in an unusual situation like Peter did in walking on the water, and when you realize that this is not where you should be and you start to sink because of your lack of faith, God is there to give you his helping hand in those situations. The Bible says also in verse 3 that God gives you a new song to sing. I remember when I was growing up in church that the older people in the church used to say that at the time of my salvation, God gave me a new song to sing that the angels cannot sing. Do you have a new song that indwells you, that God has given you, and only you can sing that song because of what he has done in your life? That song is a song of salvation. That song is a song of deliverance. That song is a song that defines your relationship with God. He puts that new song into your heart. The Bible wants us to understand that we have been delivered. We have salvation because of God. We have his grace. And that because of what he has done in our lives, that we should proclaim how great he is. Now, there's some things about God that we hear, that we say, but should have a great impact on our lives. When we hear that God is sovereign, he can do what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, how he wants to do it, and he's not accountable to anybody. That should say to us that whatever is going on in my life, if my life is submitted to God's will, that God knows what he's doing. Have you ever asked God, do you know what you're doing? We need to understand the holiness of God. You know, in the Old Testament, there are times when they would not even mention Jehovah or Adonai because of the holiness of God. That we understand that God is perfect in his integrity. He is truth. He is Alpha and Omega. He was here from the beginning. Before he created anything, he was here. That his mercy and his grace is available to us, and that he is eternal. Now, as you look into Psalms 40, verse 1. We need to understand that as we wait on the Lord, and reading this, it says, I waited patiently for God. He turned to me and heard my cry. That we need to learn how to wait patiently. This world has gotten us to the point where we can't wait patiently for anything. You know, we have this thing called fast food. You know, I think it all started with McDonald's, but it's just continued to blossom and to grow. Now, how many of you have gone into McDonald's for fast food and had to get in line? And the slower the line got, the more irritated you got. For fast food. We look for everything to come to us fast. We've become a group of people that we have no patience. And what the psalmist is saying here is that the one thing that we have to have in our relationship with God as we bring our prayers and our requests to him, that we need to become patient. That means we need to quiet ourselves. That we need to sit before God. When you got something on your mind, when there's an issue that you really have going on in your life, how long can you sit like this? How long can you sit with your hands folded, waiting for somebody to bring your issue to resolve? Your trust in God, knowing how great God is, God calls you to be able to sit and wait on him. Because he is actively, aggressively, persistently moving in your life. He's not just sitting back waiting, but God is actively, day in and day out, aggressively moving in your life. And he's looking for you to have an undistracted prayer life. Praying with expectation, praying that his will be done in your life. That you trust in his sovereignty, that you trust in his goodness. Because if you trust in his sovereignty and if you trust in his goodness, then you trust that he's going to work out everything for your good. If you trust God, then you have the faith that God is going to work out his goodness in your life. And then you have to be confident that when you pray and you get up off your knees, you have to be confident that God has heard your prayers and he's going to respond according to his will for your life. To wait on God is to affirm God's goodness. To wait on God is to confirm who God is. To wait on God is to say that in you I put my trust, in you I put my hope, in you I put my everything because you are my God. You are greater than anything else in the world, and I trust you with my life, and I trust you with the needs of my life. In verse number 2, it says that he brought me out of a pit of devastation. He took false doctrine out of my mind. I no longer think as the world thinks. I no longer perceive my relationship with him as the world would have me to perceive it. Then he goes on to say, out of a miry clay, he took me out of a life of evilness. He took me out of a life of sin. He took me out of a life of rebellion to him. And he set my feet upon a rock. He gave me solid doctrine of his word. He gave me his divine truth. Now, in giving me all of that, as we move into verse number 3, he gave me a song that glorifies him. A song that celebrates in my life what he has done for me. A song that celebrates his strength, his shield, and that he, the enemy, my enemy, has been swallowed up. He goes on to say in verses 6-8 of this same chapter that sacrifices and offerings are by no means acceptable to God. I desire people of God that do my will. Psalms 40 verses 6-8. In essence, what God is saying is that I'm not looking for you to put anything on an altar and kill it. I'm not looking for you to give me something, you know, out of an offering. I'm looking for a group of people that know me and desire to serve me with their full heart and with their total life, because that's what I desire of you, that you do my will. Understand that his word is divine truth. By you reading God's word, you come to understand who he is, and you come to understand his gospel. It sometimes befuddles me. They still say that the largest selling book every year in this country is the Bible. Now, the only thing I can say is, as I look at the news every day, that there can't be any Bibles in Washington. Now, that's just my thought, because of some of the things that go on. Because if you are in the Bible, and if you are submitting to the will of God, then the Word of God becomes first in your life, and you live out what you have read and what you know that God requires of you. Now, we know that we are human, and sometimes we get caught up in sin. But God has given us an access that if we confess our sins, God will cleanse us of all righteousness, all unrighteousness, excuse me. So God looks for us to be into his word, because his word was written for us. God knows all about himself. He wrote his word for us in Ezekiel, the 2nd chapter. God wants us to do his good pleasure. He wants us to live according to his precepts. He wants us to live according to his will, that all of us will be saved. In verse number 17, the psalmist asked the Lord to incline his ear to him, to answer him, for he is spiritually poor and needy. I believe that that is a major problem for us, that we are spiritually poor and needy, And we need to draw closer to God. We need to pray more deeply to God that God would hear us and allow His Spirit to feed us, that we no longer will be spiritually poor and needy. As we think about the greatness of God, there are about a few things I want to put in front of you, and then we're going to close it out this morning. First of all, because you seek the Lord, you are to rejoice and be glad in your seeking of the Lord. Understand that God is great, and His grace is available to you. Because you receive His blessings, His thoughts towards His children provide endless reasons for us to praise Him. There are fundamentally, when you open your eyes in the morning, that's a reason to praise God. When you take and turn to your left or to your right and you put your foot on the floor, that's a reason to praise God. When you go into your bathroom and open your mouth to brush your teeth and you see all your teeth still in your mouth, that's a reason to praise God. When you go to your closet and you find clothing in your closet, that's a reason to praise God. When you go downstairs and sit at your table and somebody, if not yourself, brings you something to eat, that's a reason to praise God. If you are able to walk out of your house and get into a car, that's a reason to praise God. If you are able to go to a job and draw a paycheck, that's a reason to praise God. If you don't have to go to work and you still got a paycheck coming in, that is even more of a reason to praise God. We take God for granted sometimes. We'll call on Him when we have a need, but sometimes God just wants to hear us praise Him. Have you ever sat in your room and just said, I'm going to start with when I wake up and I'm going to sit here and I'm going to praise God for everything He has done for me today before I go to bed tonight? That's the kind of God that we serve. He is a great God. He is a strong God. He is the God that meets all of our needs. And He desires that we praise Him, that we honor Him, and that we glorify Him on a day-to-day basis. Because you receive His blessings, He looks that you will magnify Him, that you will allow your life to be a testimony of His goodness, of His mercy, and of what He has done for you. You know, you benefit from His grace. Every day, you are walking in His favor because He is blessing you for something you haven't done. He is blessing you for something you haven't earned. And we need to understand. Let me give you an example. My wife and I went to Trader Joe's, and I parked the car, and I got out of the car, and seldom do I look down at the street. And I looked down, and it was a $5 bill. Nobody was around. So I couldn't pick it up and say, is this yours? Nobody was around, it was just the two of us. And I put my foot on it first. Then I reached down and I picked it up. And I took it and I opened it up because I thought maybe it was a half a dollar bill. And I opened it up and I said, look what I just found. And my wife said, God is good. How many times have God blessed you and you have not given a thought to saying anything to him? Now, I'm not just saying in this situation, but if your heart is beating, God is good. If you go home this afternoon and sit down at the table and you got food, God is good. We need to understand how great a God we serve. You benefit from his grace. You were lost in your sin, and Jesus Christ saved you. God has given you his unspeakable, extravagant love. He has given you his mercy. And he loves you with a love that you can't even comprehend. He's jumped two steps up. Let me come back. Only one God is alive, active, wise, good, and sovereign. Only one God cannot be compared with any other God. Only one God is worthy of your praise and your glory, and your worship, and your worship. God alone is great. Because of Christ, God always hears you. Psalms 66, verses 16 through 20. Finally, what has God done for you? What has God done for you? In Colossians, the second chapter, in the 13th verse, says that when you were dead in your sins, God made you alive in Christ. That's enough to praise him right there. That's enough to stay in this room and praise him until tomorrow morning. That when you were dead in your sins, God made you alive in Christ. And then just to hope, just so that some of you don't get caught out there in left field, in Romans the third chapter, verses 10 through 11, there is no one who does good, not even one. So I just want you to understand, don't you think that there's something good about you. It is all done through Christ. Christ is the one who has made everything new. In 2 Corinthians, it says that if anyone belongs in Christ, he is a new creation and old things have passed away. Having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through faith in the power of our Lord, who raised him from the dead, by grace alone, we now stand in a position that God has allowed us to stand in, and God has given us. And we understand that no matter what has happened in our lives, that we who are in Christ stand forgiven. And because we stand forgiven, we only stand because of how great our God is. It is not anything that we have done, but everything that we have in Jesus is because of Jesus. It's because of what he has done for us and nothing that we have done for ourselves. We could not save ourselves. We could not cover ourselves with our own grace. We could not cover ourselves with our own mercy. It is because of God. It is because of Jesus that we stand in the relationship that we now have. And God stands there saying, understand how great I am. Because in my greatness, I want to continue to do supernatural things in your life. I want to continue to show you my grace. I want to continue to show you my mercy. I want to continue to take you from where you are to where I want you to be. I want to transform you so that when you come to be with me, you will praise me because of how great I am. Father, we just thank you for our time in your word. We pray, Lord, your blessing upon each and every word that would sink deep in our souls and in our hearts. Lord, that we may come to truly understand how great you are with our human minds, and that we will live lives that are pleasing to you, lives that honor you, lives that glorify you, live according to your will. The grace of God be with you all.